Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you. Reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. And when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask John, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked John, "Well, then, what are you? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" John answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? So we can give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say for yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" As Isaiah the prophet said. Some Pharisees were also sent, and they asked John, Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize you with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Got a show and tell today. In this Gold Star bag. Gold Star is voted number one food for those in Overeaters Anonymous. When I go to Gold Star, I order a 12-way. And she'll ask, "What's a 12-way? I said, "It's 3 4-ways with extra spaghetti and extra sauce." And then she'll ask, "What would you like to drink, sir?" And I say, "Diet Coke." With a cherry on top. Anyway, let me show this. This, by the way, this is an OOAK. Does anyone know what an OOAK is? Anybody? Let me tell you. An OOAK stands for, and this is a legitimate term, one of a kind. In Barbie world, if someone, say, takes a Barbie and modifies it, that $39 doll could go for well over $300-$400. Because it's an OOAK. So I'm going to show you my OOAK. It's a little heavy, but it's very beautiful. Okay. There it is. Isn't that pretty? This was made for me, given to me by Sally Friedrich. You know, our Sally. And she took the time, prepared very diligently. She put epoxy glue on there, and there's all types of amethyst and flowers made from red glass and cut glass and swirly things and stars. And she gave this to me as a gift. When I got this, I thought of immediately the song by Glen Campbell, "Rhinestone Cowboy." And I changed the words. I wrote down a new phrase. I wrote, "Like a rhinestone bowler, riding on a horse with my star-spangled bowling ball." And here it is. You know, this bowling ball, Sally used bowled with this bowling ball in 1954. She was 16, and this was her first bowling ball. Do you realize that bowling ball is now 69 years old? But there it is, in all its glory. And my brothers and sisters, Advent is a time of preparation. It's a time not to adorn a bowling ball. It's a time to adorn our souls. Adorn your souls with beautiful decorations of prayer, almsgiving, kind deeds, and repentance from sins. That's how you should adorn your soul. You know, God even talks about this in the Bible. There's a mention about adorning in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, where God says, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But your adorning should be hidden. It should be hidden as the person prepares his heart, preparing the heart with imperishable beauty of gentleness, love, and a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." So God even says, I don't care what you look like on the outside. I'm looking on the inside, how beautiful your soul is. Jesus, when you prepare for Jesus, it's all interior work, working on the soul. And in Advent, we are called to put Christ's light into our hearts. So when you light up your house this Christmas, I'm sure some of you have lights on the roof and lights all around the house and lights inside. So when you put up your Christmas lights, ask yourself this question: what am I doing to light up my soul? What am I doing to put Christ's light in here, in your heart? Now I want to offer you four ways. There's four ways to prepare to put Christ's light into your heart. And these come from God himself. This isn't my opinion. God says this is how you do it. In James chapter 4, verse 8 to 10, God gives us four ways to prepare our hearts for his coming. Number one, remember, this is God speak, so I'll explain it to you. Number one, cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. Now, I don't want you to be running around with a bunch of hippie cleanse, washing your hands. That's a good thing to do, but that's not what God means. When God says cleanse your hands, that's his way of saying stop sinning. Stop dirtying your hands with sin. Search your soul honestly. Name and claim the biggest sin that you have to work on. Name it. For me, it's on this bag, Gold Star Chili. When I get, not depressed, but when I get stressed, like with just getting stressed with life, I mean, the first thing I do is I get comfort food. Run right for the food, baby. That's why I'm fat. And that's the sin I got to work on. I have to work on not being a glutton, because that'll make me sick. So work on your sin. You name it and you claim it and work on it. Number two, purify your heart. This is where, after you name and claim the sin in your life, then you dump it. Dump it out of your life. Get rid of it, whatever it be. Scripture says, if you flee from the devil, he'll flee from you. So dump that sin out of your life. Here's a few sins that I've listed that I'm sure, I know I have done so many of these, I'm sure you may have too. Here's a list that you gotta dump: impatience, anger, selfishness, meanness, lust, lying, stealing, cheating, jealousy, envy, pride. They all contaminate the soul, they make it dirty, and they block God's light. God says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, But if we walk in the light, as God himself is in the light, the blood of Jesus, his son, will cleanse you of all sin. You got to walk in the light. Number three, mourn and weep. What's God mean by that? Well, he didn't want you to be crying all the time. Mourning and weeping means this. Turn away from your sins. Turning away from your sins and towards God is serious business. Don't take it for granted. This is serious. Your eternal salvation depends on receiving the grace of God and letting nothing hinder that. You see, my sins, they hurt me. And they have the potential to hurt everyone around you. In your family, do you ever have someone in your family's a grump? You know? And everybody's like walking on eggshells. Don't get mom mad. Don't get dad mad, you know? Don't get my spouse upset. You know, being grumpy, it hurts everybody. That's just one example. But think of this. This gets to me. When I sin, I hurt God. I don't think we understand fully enough. God has feelings. He has feelings. He can get hurt. Or my sin hurts his feelings. Remember in the Bible, when Jesus was looking over Jerusalem, his feelings were so hurt. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone and kill the prophets, how I long to have you with me, like a hen with its wings brings in her chicks, but you refused. And then Jesus said, because of that, one stone will not be left on another in Jerusalem. And that happened, 70 AD. The Romans came in, leveled the whole town. If they only would have stuck with Jesus, who loved so much. And I'm amazed that me and you, we are just little specks of dust in this vast universe. Think about it. The earth is a speck of dust, and we're a speck on the speck of dust. We're just so insignificant. We're just little pieces of dust. But yet, God has given you the power to make him happy or to make him sad, to hurt his feelings or to lift up his feelings. God gave us that power over him. And I guess that happens when someone loves you that much. You who have love in your life, you know, a spouse, your children, whoever you love deeply, don't you give them your heart? You here, take it. You give them your heart. And you hope and pray they don't hurt it or abuse it. You hope and pray that they really mean what they say, I love you. But you become vulnerable. You give your heart to someone else. Jesus did that, and that's what we did. Not so good. But I wrote this next sentence. I love this sentence. I got to put this on my refrigerator. It came to me. Here it is. It's about love. Love is just a word until one special person comes into your life to give it meaning. Isn't that neat? I love that. That's what you do when you get married. You say, you are the special person, my love, that you will define and give meaning to the love I have in my heart. And God chose you to be that special person whose love gives him joy. Let us love the Lord. Make him happy. Fourth, be humble. God says in Psalm 149:4, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. To adorn, what's that mean? Well, to adorn means to take something that's plain and ordinary and make it beautiful. That's what Jesus did in the 3 years he was down here. He preached a message to those who felt ugly and unwanted, rejected, despised, outcast, scorned. He reached out to those people, and Jesus told them, God thinks you're beautiful. God thinks you're beautiful. Remember the movie? I hope you saw it. Has anyone saw the movie Whale? Oh, no, I heard a no. Okay. Anyone see? Raise your hand if you saw it. You'll know what I'm talking about. All right, who is that person? Oh, it's Barbara. You're very cosmopolitan. I love the movie Whale. You got to see it with Brendan Fraser, who got an Oscar for Best Actor. In the movie Whale, basically, it's about this really big fat guy. He is morbidly obese, and he's dying. He's 600 pounds. And years ago, he abandoned his wife and his daughter for another relationship. And now he's dying, and he wants to make amends to both of them. And the only way he could get his daughter to come to his house, he said to her, when I die, I will give you $170,000. That was his will. But you have to come see me. And when she came into his house, all the pent-up hurt, all the pent-up abandonment, and the pain of being left behind by her father, it welled to the surface. And here is his daughter yelling at him, you're fat. You're ugly. You're a horrible human being. You're a nobody. She's yelling at him all the worst things you could think of. You know how he responded? Every time she called him ugly, every time she called him fat and obese, he looked at her and says, I think you're beautiful. He said it over and over to his daughter. Here she is castigating him. And he says, I think you're beautiful. I think God does that when we sin. Because when we sin, we're castigating God. We're going, boop, I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what you think. And we put down God. And even when I sin, God's looking at me. He said, Mike, I think you're beautiful. He'll call you by name. I think you're beautiful. I'll never understand God's love. I don't think any of us can, but that's what he does. A humble person knows everything is a gift from God. So, in closing, I have a Christmas story. This will be my only time to be with you for Christmas, because I have to go down to Adams County. So I will miss you a lot. I've been with you for 19 years, 19 Christmases. It's a long time, but this year I'm called elsewhere to have Christmas with my new family. But I leave with you this story. There was one Christmas where I felt exceptionally loved. I came home from the seminary on Christmas break. I was 15 years old. I was so homesick. I hadn't been home in months. And finally, I'm home for the holidays. And being homesick, I longed to see our Christmas tree lighted and decorated with ornaments and silver tinsel and lights. And I knew if I see that tree, it'll take away the pain of being lonely. And George Sakash up there knows what I mean, because he went to the same school I did, St. Fidel's. Remember, George?
Yes.
We couldn't get home. We were stuck in a big old ugly building. Looked like a jail. And so finally, I'm home. I opened the door, expecting to see Christmas. But my heart sank. No tree, No lights. No nothing. Not even cookies. Nothing. I tried to hide my disappointment. But you know moms, they see everything, don't they? Mom saw everything. She had eyes in the back of her head. And mom knew right away I was upset. And she said, Michael, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, Mom, it's December 16th, and we always had the tree up by now. Hearing that, my father quickly jumped into his car, and he came back with a live tree, you know, cut down. And the tree was on the roof of his his pink Pontiac. This was the color of my father, seriously. The color, my first car I ever rode in, drove, was a pink Pontiac Chieftain. And so he got this tree. And then mom went upstairs, brought down all the Christmas decorations from the attic. And then we spent the next several hours putting up the tree, decorating the tree. And I had the job that I did every year. I carefully laid tinsel on each limb. Have you ever laid, you know what tinsel is? Anybody here don't know what tinsel is? Oh, they're not admitting it. Okay, young people don't know what it is. Tinsel was long, skinny strands of silver. It looked like hair. And I would take that tinsel, and you always put it on your four fingers. You drape it over, and then you gently lay it on the tree. And when you put up tinsel, you have to put it in front of a light bulb. You know, one of the Christmas lights. And you do that so that the tinsel will sparkle all the colors of the light bulb. I did that so well. If I wasn't a priest, I think I would have been a beautician. Because you handle it like hair, you know. So I did that. And then of course, we put up the balls. And mom went into the kitchen. And, of course, she started cooking. But she made her own dough. This is, God, she's in heaven. But she made her own dough with using a rolling pin. The people, young people, do you know what a rolling pin is? Okay, you know that. Oh, as a hand, oh, Heather knows. Okay. And my mom would have, in fact, I still have it. It's in my kitchen, my mom's rolling pin. And you rolled out the dough and you used flour. And my mom, she put flour everywhere, in her hair, on her dress, on the floor, on the table. She did this with gusto and threw the flour all over the place. And she made me the one cookie that I long for. I wait for it every Christmas. My favorite cookie is French cream horn. Do you know what those are? They're so, aren't they good? Any young people know what they are? Oh, one. Heather, you know everything. Anyway. So mom would make these French cream horns, and it's like a tube with whipped cream inside that she handmade. No Cool Whip crap. I mean, real whipped cream. And when I'd eat those cookies, I took my tongue and I sucked out the cream, kind of like with an Oreo cookie, and I just left the tube. Made my mom mad. She'd say, why don't you just get a bowl of cream? Forget the dough. But eventually I'd eat that too. And oh, it was so good. And then after all this was done, the cooking completed, the tree decorated, we all sat down together in the couch. We sat there a long time looking at the tree, eating the cookies. The aroma of freshly baked pie still filled the air. At that moment, I felt so loved right there. I felt so special. Love was defined for me. Christmas had begun. Happy Advent, everyone, and Merry Christmas, and may the gift of love to someone that you know who needs it, may you give it generously. In a postscript, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of this, my church family, of our parish, because Christmas is not going to be nice and happy for everyone. I despise the song, Hap, Hap, Happiest Time of the Year, that Christmas song. I don't believe it. It's not true for a lot of people. And we know about the three men who died. And kind of like that grief hangs over our community. You know, I think about it. And those poor families don't have a daddy, don't have a husband. And they're probably wondering how they're going to get their next bread on the table. Well, we took up a collection here at St. Mary. And I'm so proud that in just 2 weeks, you donated to these families $8,700. $8,700 in 2 weeks. That's phenomenal. People were just giving money like crazy. And in fact, it stood out so generously because they mentioned it on Facebook of the Highland County gossip section there. Highland, what's that called, Michelle? Highland County what? Chat. I call it gossip. Okay. Michelle, keep giving me that at Facebook. I want to read some more, see if they say anything about me. But anyways, they mentioned St. Mary Church. And, you know, I don't want any, what should we say, fame for us. We were just doing our Christian duty. And I'm so happy that apparently you must be listening to my sermons after 19 years. Because you gave so generously, which is the hallmark of God. It's not his love, it's his generosity. And you were generous, like the Lord called you to be. You truly put the name of Christ in Christmas. You truly showed from your generous love offering, you showed the light of Christ. Thanks a lot. So I want to say Merry Christmas. I'll leave here happy, though I will miss you. I'll be back, I guess, the weekend right before New Year's. Father Brad Steggy will be here. I'll be with my new family down there. And I hope and pray that they be as loving, and I think they are, be as loving as you. Merry Christmas to all of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at stmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.